We've been talking about how part of our restlessness as believers and as people seeking God is that we sometimes think that we're going to arrive. Hey, we make confession of faith. We're done. Hey, we baptize our kids. We're done. Oh, we go to church and we've served on the board or taught something. We're done. And yet, it's always a journey. And we need to see our lives as unfinished, as people who continually are growing and changing and moving. And we've talked a lot about how that looks, and we've talked a lot about the challenges. Today it's a little bit more the how. How in the world do we figure out how to keep growing? How in the world do we continue to, as I said to Evan and to Lorianne and to William, to again continue that journey of growth together? And this morning I want us to think about one of those kind of famous passages from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were to be an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Sometimes, as we live life, we somehow get lost. What do I mean? We get lost thinking we're really important. And again, part of that journey of being unfinished is that we worry about ourselves so much and we cease to work together and grow together. And this morning, I'd like you to think about this whole idea of synergy. Synergy. It's right there with kinetic energy as well. Kinetic energy is this movable force that explodes. But part of kinetic energy is the understanding that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. That's synergy. The whole is greater than the sum of its part. In order to express that kinetic energy, in order to have that reaction happen, all the parts have to work together. And that working together is greater than if they just work separately. So this morning, I'm asking you to think about how to become who God wants you to be. And how do you do it? Well, you do it as a team. You do it as a team. And the way it begins is when you understand that idea of synergy, that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. We can sit here this morning as individuals, or we can sit here as a family of people seeking God. Some of us who have maybe understood who Christ is in our life, others of us who are still on that journey trying to figure out who God is, who Christ is, but still seeking God. This morning, the power of that is in the whole. In the whole. I think it's also kind of fun this morning that I can say this, I think. We have a few Canadians with us this morning. You want to raise your hand? Come on, raise your hand. Yes. I normally say communists to Anita, but I won't do that this morning. And I felt bad because, you know, the Blue Jays kind of got crushed, all right? And I'm talking about baseball here. But the beauty of this? Doesn't matter. Because the whole is more important than the pieces. And today we can sit here and say it doesn't matter if we're from Canada or from the United States. Or if we're from Europe or from wherever. It doesn't matter whether or not we are American League or whether or not National League. The important piece is the power is in the whole. And the world helps us divide. Look at how many denominations there are. Look at how many churches there are. Look at how often we hear that, oh, this church, they're amazing and they're great. And, oh, you go to that one over there. Ugh. We divide. And yet God said for us to finish, to grow, to keep growing, we need to do it together. I thought it was great the other night as the Cubs went back and forth, as the Indians fought back and forth, and then the rain delay happened. And what I thought was so amazing was the story that came out of that rain delay. Because I thought for sure, hey, the Cubs were done. I thought, you know, they fought back, the momentum had swung. And the story that came out was that one of those veteran players, Jason Hayward, who really hadn't been playing well as far as hitting the bat, called a team meeting and pulled together all of the pieces and said, don't give up. And when they went back onto that field as a team, they went not as individuals, but as a whole. And in that wholeness, something amazing and special took place. And so this morning, if we want to keep growing, are we willing to be part of the whole? Are we willing to use our gifts and our abilities? Are we willing to seek our knowledge and our understanding in this community and be a whole? Because that is more effective and more powerful than any one individual or any group of individuals. The whole is greater than the sum of the individuals. But let's acknowledge the individuals, because each of us have a different role. Each of us have a role that should be complementary to one another. Ears, eyes, nose, foot, mouth, hands, whatever it might be, each of us with diverse capabilities in order to build up communities and build strength within our world. This morning, as we think about this idea of unfinished, as we think about becoming who God wants us to be, we are different. We are individuals, and God wants it that way. Each of us to have a different role, each of us to be complementary to one another, each of us to be diverse in a manner in which amazing things can be done because of the whole. How are we at fostering diversity? How are we at fostering people that are different than us in order to make the end that goal? If we can bring in people that are different, if we can bring in people that are diverse, then the kingdom of God wins. And each of us wins as we grow, as we understand, as we mature. Again, each has a different role. When this World Series started, many people thought that the Cubs were crazy because they bought Schwarber back from that devastating knee injury. They brought him back for one reason, and that was to DH, to hit, something that he can do amazingly and something that he did do amazingly in the World Series. That was his only role. Or you look at Grandpa Ross, one of the three catchers that the Cubs carry. And his only real job is to catch Lester. That's it. Nobody else usually. Nothing else. On his way out, 39 years old, and yet one specific diverse role. each of us need to look and say, what is my unique and diverse role? Each of us needs to support those roles, because we might not understand why they would be a Detroit Tigers fan, all right? But they have a unique place. Or why they might look at things a certain way, but they have a unique place. Each of us needs to use that different role in order for the body to succeed. We're better together using our individual roles than we are apart. And then simply put, every role is critical. Every role is critical. As Scripture said, what would the body be if we were all an eye? How would we hear? What would the body be if we were as all a nose, and how would we see? If it was all hands and could not walk? Each role is critical to the reaction. Like I said, synergy. Again, that whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Kinetic energy is that force that explodes from the reaction. Each role is critically important so that that reaction takes place, so that explosion takes place, so that energy is released. Don't let anyone tell you you're not important. Don't let anyone tell you that your gifts or your abilities aren't important. They are critically important to the kingdom of God. We have to be able to, again, work together and be able to do it as a critical role, a critical, critical piece of the play. I love in Game 7, the Cubs go up 1-0. And then the Indians get one of their fastest and best runners on the following half of the inning. And so here sits Hendricks on the pitching mound, and the announcer just happens to say, and Hendricks has one of the best moves to first base. He then proceeds to pick off the runner. But it wouldn't have happened unless, again, Rizzo has the ability to field that ball and to swipe tag that ball. Each role is critical. Or one of my favorite plays in baseball is the put out from the outfield. And I don't mean when it's a short fly ball and they throw a home. I mean on one of those deep ones. And the outfielder backs up. He gets that running start. And he has to fire that ball to the relay person who's standing just outside the infield. And then that relay person has to field that ball, one hop it, take it right to home plate, then the catcher has to block the plate, catch the ball, put the tag down. Each person has a critical role. And if that role doesn't take place, then the play fails. Each of us have a critical role within the kingdom of God, and we cannot take it too lightly. If we don't work together, then the out will not be made. The play will not be successful. And we have to work together in order to understand success and going down that road of being more complete as God's people. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Each has a different role. Each role is critical. And then, this is the strange part. Each role is independent. Each role is independent. Baseball is a strange game because it's very much a team sport. But at the same token, it's very much an individual sport. It's different than football, or it's different than basketball, where there seems to be this give and take at all points. Really, you have your own little world if you're a first baseman. You have your own little world if you're a catcher. You have your own little world if you're the pitcher. I didn't understand this until I started playing softball when I was done with baseball, and I started pitching. And I suddenly realized the helpless feeling of letting that ball go and then knowing I can't do anything else about it. My independent role was to put the ball across the plate. If the batter hit it, from there it was out of my hands. And it was from there that I had to trust my second baseman, my first baseman, my outfielders, whatever it might be. The roles were very independent. And so it is with the kingdom of God. We need to understand we have a job to do. Each one of us, once we understand our gifts, once we understand our abilities, we need to work together, but we need to be diligent in being the best, whatever it might be, that we can be for the kingdom of God. We need to be independent and say, if the rest of the body isn't ready to move yet, I respect them, I love them, but I'm going to keep going because I need to do my job. The last inning of the World Series, I thought, was a great example of that. Because in my mind, the Cubs didn't have any middle relief help. And so they send in Edwards Jr., a 25-year-old kid who's got a lively arm, can throw 95 miles an hour, and yet 25, not a lot of experience, walking into the last inning, the last three outs of the World Series. And if you watch the game at all, I found it somewhat humorous and a life lesson that he got up there and faced that first batter and he threw nothing but heat. Boom, 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 out. Second batter, boom, boom, out. Third batter, this is the last out of the World Series. You could see him start to breathe. He got scared. He got scared. He could not function in his independent role, and so they brought in Montgomery, who was a little bit older, had been in some stickier positions, and he went out there and said, give me the ball. I'm going to do my job now. Independent roles, and yet part of the body. We need to understand that as we grow as human beings. And finally, we need to understand God brings the body to life. It says in the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 12 that it's God who arranges the body. It's God who brings the body together. It's God who brings life. And as we walk through our life and as we struggle to understand how we're growing, who we are, where do we fit, we need to understand that it's God the Creator, the Alpha, the Omega, who has put that inkling within each of us. Because God brings life. And it's God who brings life to a place called North Park. And God is at the center of this team or this community. And it's God who brings life into the Christian community that crosses boundaries, that crosses borders, so that we might live life together. We need to be people who acknowledge that this is bigger than me. I could be the greatest hitter, but it's bigger than that. I could be the greatest fielder, but it's bigger than that. God breathes the life into this team. Again, as you watched the news, as you followed the series, there was a sense of something bigger with the Cubs. Now, I'm not going to say God was in the World Championship. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there was an energy that was bigger than any catcher, bigger than any manager, bigger than any slugger. It was bigger. It had a power that was 108 years old. Joey leaned over to me last night and said, Dad, look at this. They said that the gathering for the parade and for the celebration was the seventh largest gathering of human beings in the history of the world. Seventh largest Cubs fans, all right? Crazy. It's bigger. Something we don't understand. And that's true of this whole idea of being unfinished. That it's bigger than us and it's God moving in us. And the whole idea of bringing us together as a family, it's bigger than us. It's not about me, it's about God breathing life into the team. And when that team fires on all cylinders and brings it all together, then that team can be unstoppable for the kingdom and for the glory of God. Sadly, in my mind, there's a difficult note to the Cubs championship. If you followed it at all, and I try to read all the news, in less than a week, there's already one team player who said, I was treated unfairly. One teammate who said, I didn't get the respect I deserved. If you look it up, it was one of the catchers. They carry three. It was Montero, who, when asked to hit the ball, hit the ball. But he wasn't asked to catch. And he felt he could have done a better job than the people who did. And he felt he should have been used. And he has come out publicly and said, it wasn't fair. Well, guess what? It's bigger than him. In order to make the team function and succeed, it's bigger than him. But he don't get it. And we need to get it. That as we live this life, as we try to figure out who we are, as we try to figure out who God wants us to be, it's bigger than us, and God breathes life into it. So as we live our lives, I don't want to wait 108 years to figure out who I am. I don't want to wait 108 years to figure out whether or not a ministry is effective. I don't want to wait 108 years to see many of you mature and figure out whether or not you are who God wants you to be. Today is a day where we need to come together as a team, where we need to come together as a whole that is stronger than the sum of each of us individually and work together to discover the amazing future that God has for each of us as people and for us as a community of people seeking God and serving God. Today and every day is the world championship on the line. We are called to be that team, to be that group of synergy, to be that body that Paul calls us to and change the world. It would be so amazing if instead of go Cubs go, go Cubs go, hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win today. There was another tune out there. A tune about Christ. A tune about Christ winning. About our world being a better place because of the Spirit of God alive, unleashed within us as a team.